You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This kid, Tommy, watching their son do this.
What a throw by DeVito! Touchdown, Giants!
For the New York Giants, has got to be mind-blowing to them. His name is Tommy DeVito.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni, Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We had a great chat with Nick Sirianni in hour number one, and that's not like sports talk or radio / TV host type of stuff saying, oh, it was epic, it was great, it was this, it was that. It was really a lot of fun, and certainly for a guy that you think that might be on a ton of pressure right now, the defending NFC champion head coach having lost two in a row, sitting at 10-3, it really was delightful. Certainly the exchange we had about the commissioner or the NFL competition committee or health and safety group thinking of potentially getting rid of the brotherly shove play, his response was terrific. If you missed it, we re-air right here on the Roku channel, channel 210. As soon as we're done, there's our podcast version of this show as well, all 3 hours through the Cumulus Podcast Network. Also, there's the Rich Eisen Show collection page. That's our video on demand service. There's also our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Boom. So there's all of that.
Boom.
I think we may have also reeled it up. We may have made a 90-second reel about it on our Instagram and Facebook and YouTube pages and TikTok and whatever. There's so many different ways to go about it. But we kick off hour number three, joining us to talk about the Neymar Football League from the owners group. Owners meeting is none other than Sports Illustrated, Albert Breer. Should I brush up on my Portuguese, Albert?
I certainly need to after that press conference. I didn't understand a lot of it, but yeah, I mean, it's and I figured you'd appreciate the lighting in here too, Rich.
It's very moody.
Very delightful, right? Moody. Very. I feel like it's very holiday. Got a little bit of a holiday feel. You look behind me, you can see the lights.
Look,
you know,
at that. Festive, and I appreciate you finding a nice, quiet room to have this conversation there at the ownership meeting. So, what's the plan here for the NFL?
Well, I mean, I think the Brazil thing's interesting. They had considered three cities, really. It was Rio, Sao Paulo, and then Madrid in Spain. And, you know, they certainly want to continue to expand this. And, you know, I think this is, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years going to grow to where they're really going to use the 17th game as an international game where, you know, now every other year a team's got 9 home games. And teams now are going to be subject every 4 years to giving up one of those home games to go overseas. And so, you know, clearly it's like part of the plan when they went to 17 games was to use the extra games to grow the game internationally. And I think it's like part of, you know, they got to a point, Rich, and you know this, like 15 years ago or so, where it was like, we can't really grow up domestically anymore, so we want to grow out. And that's adding inventory as Thursday Night Football. It's 17 games. It's the expanded playoffs. It's going back to L.A. And it's growing internationally. And so this is a big part of it. And it's a new continent, too, which is significant for them. And then, as you mentioned off the top there, like the rules changes are coming up here. You know, so I'd expect in the next couple hours we'll at least have, you know, some update on what they're going to do with the hip drop tackle, with the push play. And then another thing, the split flow blocking is something else that's come up that I think fewer fans have a handle on, but another thing that they're addressing here.
Well, they usually don't make rule changes at this ownership meeting. It's usually, you know, studied, and then the competition committee has at it during the month of February or late January when they start meeting. And then they present something for ownership to vote on in the big membership meeting that always happens at the end of March. What are you hearing about the brotherly shove play and what's being discussed there? on that front?
Yeah, it's something they've looked at like a lot. Now I'll give you my own opinion. My own opinion, like a year ago, I thought it was like a cheat code, right? Like, and I was like, ah, and if you care about health and safety and you have the quarterback getting shoved into the line, does that really square with some of the other actions? But I don't know about you, Rich, but as I've seen team after team after team try it and fail, and this really seems to be just one team that's really, really good at it, that has a Hall of Fame center in Jason Kelce, a strong as an ox quarterback in Jalen Hurts, two guards who used to be centers, at least when they're healthy, in Dickerson and Juergens. You know, I've sort of come around to the fact, like, I don't think you should change the rules because one team's really good at something. And I've gotten that sentiment here too, just talking to more people. It's, you know, the more that this just becomes kind of an ego specific thing, the more support there is for not changing the rule in the push play. And we'll see what happens. But you know, part of it, and I think this applies to the hip drop tackle thing too, is, well, how do you write the rule, you know? And that can be a little tricky too. So you know, like, I think this would be the beginning of the conversation to put it on a timeline to talk more about it, of course, when you get to the combine. The competition committee meets there, and then ultimately at the annual meeting in March.
And then the other news is Los Angeles getting Super Bowl 61. Mm-hmm. So that's, I can't believe we're in the 60s now. I mean, 60 was already awarded to the Bay Area again in Santa Clara, but 61 goes to there's a lot of West Coast Super Bowls last couple
that's
of years.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, that's soon. Like a lot of, like, if you have like on your docket like morning radio on the East Coast, it's going to be kind of tough for a few years.
Well,
there.
You know, that's why I got morning radio on the West Coast. Hello, you know, we love it. We kind of dig it. It's a home Super Bowl for us. Mm-hmm. So just circling back one more time to the international series, what do you think is the end goal here? Like a full on international series package where there's double digit number of games in various locations around the world that a new television partner can bid on for an early window. So there's going to be an official partner of the NFL that has control of that first of four windows of football more often than not. Is that the goal?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, is that you would have a new television package that would be a morning package. Obviously that wouldn't apply to Brazil, of course, because the time difference isn't there, but yeah, I mean, like with the European games, certainly, they had talked about going to China. This was, I think, before the Beijing Olympics. Like, I think it was the Patriots and Seahawks were going to go over there. Mm-hmm. So I think at some point, Australia, China, like, does that come into the equation? And, one thing that they talked a lot about, you know, and I can remember in 07 when they launched the international series, it was, you know, a guy named Mark Waller, who was the league at the time and ran international for a while.
He's a Brit. He was a Brit. Yep.
Yeah. And one of his goals, like, there was this 15-year goal that they had to put a team full time in London. And that was in 2007. And obviously we're past that time frame now. And, you know, they really feel like the market, like the London market, is ready for a team, but the logistics aren't there. And it was interesting because, like, at one point a few years ago, I talked to them about this, and they had actually mentioned how they'd studied air travel and, like, our advances coming in air travel that are going to make this more feasible. And, you know, I think they feel like they could make it work, like, static, right? Like, just as far as, like, making, like, it so teams can go over there and play over there and then come back. Like, there's a way to do it. The problem would be with if you have your right guard get injured, how do you work out, you know, four guards on a Tuesday, right? Like, how do you do that? Like, and then, like, I mean, little things like that people don't think of, but would have to be a factor, you know? Like, so if you have like a US base in Atlanta, say, and you fly those guards into Atlanta and they fly in, then the guy who gets signed, then he's on a plane to London. It's complicated, you know? And then how about this, right? Like, so say Seattle plays the London team in the wild card round of the playoffs. And then the winner of that game plays a team on a bye in the next round. Is that fair? That somebody might be traveling 10 hours or 11 hours each way and then have to go and play a team that's rested the next week? So I think, like, as simplistic as it sounds, like, advances in air travel could dictate whether or not there's a team over there, but they've certainly had designs on putting teams outside of the U.S. And I don't think that those I don't think that the desire to do that is gone. I think it's just on hold because of the logistical problems that having a team over, you know, somewhere in Europe would present.
Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show from the league meetings in Dallas. Let's hit on the subject matter that our friend Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston threw out there, that according to people that he speaks to in the know, that once the Patriots lost to the Colts in the International Series finale in Germany, the Kraft family decided that was going to be the end of Belichick's reign in New England, and they're just playing things out until it's done at a more, I guess, appropriate time after the season. Mm-hmm. What do you make of this, Albert Breer?
Well, I mean, first of all, like, you know, I take what Tom says to the bank. You know, like, he's very plugged in. Full disclosure, like, it's been like sort of a mentor of mine. So, you know, I would take everything that Tom says at face value. I would also say this, like, just as far as my own knowledge on this, this isn't a decision that Robert Kraft's going to make on Black Monday. You know, like, this isn't a decision that Robert and Jonathan Kraft are going to mull over in the days leading up to that season finale against the Jets at Gillette. Like, this is something that's been on their mind. And, you know, like, this is something that's going to be a decision that's made over months, not weeks. And, you know, it goes back to Robert's, you know, old saying, which he uses this over and over and over again in a lot of different circumstances, is measure nine times and cut once. He understands the gravity of the situation. He's also marked by two different things, you know, here. And I think one is how the departure of Tom Brady went, where they didn't get any compensation and Brady goes and wins the Super Bowl somewhere else. And then two, his own Hall of Fame candidacy. And the optics of how would it look if I'm the guy who got rid of both Brady and Belichick, and where does that leave me? And so I think that this is multi-layered. And I think what Kraft wants, and this is me talking, I think what Kraft wants is an elegant solution to this. He wants a conclusion that looks the right way and that honors Belichick the right way. And I think that's easy if Bill's going to retire. But if this isn't it for Bill, and Bill wants to go coach somewhere else, that's where it can get complicated and awkward. So I don't know for a fact that they've talked about this. It would sort of surprise me if Robert and Jonathan hadn't tried to broach it with Bill. It would surprise me if they didn't do that well ahead of time. Now, whether they've done it or not yet, I don't know. But it wouldn't really surprise me if those guys didn't, at some point well before, you know, that finale against the Jets, addressed it with Bill directly.
Well, there was a full bye week after their loss in Germany to the Colts. And, you know, it's a shocker. I'll shoot straight up. I mean, we have heard about coaches losing a game overseas and then they get fired on the bye week after that. So it would kind of check a box that they did make that decision after an international game that they really wanted to win in Germany. But obviously this is not just any coach. It's not just any organization. It's not just any situation, which is why I think it also checks out that they're not making this a rash decision on Sunday night after week 18 against the Jets.
Right. Like,
But it also would check boxes that Belichick would be given this heads up and then he would have an opportunity to figure out what his next move is going to be too. Right. I mean, that's.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing that I think gives the Kraft some flexibility here is I think they probably have the next guy in house, you know? And so,
in Gerard Mayo, you're talking
in
about.
Gerard Mayo, right? Okay. The linebackers coach who obviously was a great player there, first round pick. Now I can tell you personally, like I've worked with him before. He is A+ in every way, you know, as a person, and you can see what they see in him. And, you know, we talk a lot about the young offensive coach trend, right? Well, there's an ex-player trend that seems to be working out pretty well now too, with Dan Campbell and D'Amico Ryans and Mike Vrabel and Kevin O'Connell. And, you know, Gerard would sort of be, you know, I think in that category. And, you know, like part of this is Gerard turned down an interview with the Panthers last year and got a new contract, and his contract dovetails with Belichick's. And so things logistically are set up where Gerard could easily be moved into that role, maybe with a new general manager coming in. And I think that that does give you some flexibility if you're the Krafts, where you could sit there and say, we're not in any rush to launch a coaching search because we probably have our guy right here. Now, there are some things that they've got to do, you know, per the Rooney rule to satisfy certain things before they were to hire Gerard. But, you know, I do think that there's that element of it where, you know, you don't feel this rush to start a coaching search because you're competing against seven or eight other teams on the market. You know, if you think you've got your guy in house, it allows you to kind of, you know, kind of act with a little bit more patience and not have the same level of urgency that some other teams do. And that, that to me is another thing that makes this unique on top of, you know, how like Bill's last 4 years probably would get coaches fired somewhere, but you can't discount the 20 years that came before that, which is probably the greatest run a coach has ever had.
And then
NFL.
he just won a game that nobody expected him to win and has been, you know, honestly, and he's as dynamite as they come if he wants to do TV or anything like that. So there are many, many options here, obviously. Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I move on, is Kraft there? I mean, is anyone, because Belichick had addressed it today and said, I'm focused on Kansas City. What did Kraft have to say?
Kraft, I would say, has made himself scarce at this meeting in the October meeting in New York. And that's not par for the course with him. At these meetings, he'll at least kind of walk through where the media is. Mm-hmm. And he won't duck the media. And, you know, especially like at a day like today, you know, like this, Robert's involved in the international
big
stuff.
Big time.
You know what I mean? Like, so he would not, like, I would think like he wouldn't mind actually coming and speaking to the media and explaining why they're going to Brazil and all that different stuff. He would probably like to talk about that. But he knows if he comes out where that's going. You know what I mean? Like, so he's made himself scarce here. He made himself scarce in October. It's a little out of character for him. Not that he does a press conference at every owner's meeting, but he generally will be at least available to chit chat or whatever. And he's been noticeably absent from the media areas over the last couple of owners' meetings, I think for obvious reasons.
And then last one for you, Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Officiating, what's been the conversation there, certainly in light of the face of the league essentially calling out officiating, whether that was right or wrong, at the end of the Bills-Chiefs game. This has been at least something, and Mahomes talking about it like this.
Yeah.
Again, he has since said something otherwise about what he was saying after the game, but he is giving voice to what a lot of fans are saying about the officiating. So,
can you give me 1 minute to go off on this?
Because Albert Breer, like, the floor is yours, sir. Go for it.
You saw that view. Like, I think a fan shot it, right? Like the ground level view, right? Mm-hmm. Go back and watch that, right? And the ref pulls the flag right away and throws it. Okay. So for all the people that are like, they're taking away such a great play, what do you want the ref to do in that situation? Do you want them to like huddle up and say, you know what? He was offsides, but that was one heck of a play. Like, is that what we're looking for? I mean, he threw the flag. You know what I mean? Like, the flag was on the ground. You're not going to pick it up because, like, that was a great play. So
he was probably going, oh, my God, that was one of the most incredible plays. Well, wait till I buzzkill the rest of this stadium. that might have been it. You know, I mean, it might have been like, oh, no. This is going to really create a problem for Sheffers. And I'm sure the official, you know, knows that Sheffers is a four-letter word in Kansas City already, you know. So that's a point well taken. Totally.
I mean,
so
in this specific situation, I think Andy and Patrick, their words afterwards reflected that. Like, I think that after they had a cooling down, like, they reflected that. I think Patrick, you know, spoke with emotion after the game. And I think Andy was just taking up for his players. Like, I think that was the long and short of it. And then they come back the next day and kind of amend what they said. Officiating is certainly a question that a lot of owners, a lot of the top executives here are talking about. I don't think it was specifically on the agenda, but it's something that is being addressed in the hallways and the meeting rooms and everywhere else here. And I do think, you know, it's something that the coaches have really taken up as an issue. And I can remember 4 or 5 years ago talking to the people on the Madden committee, and Andy Reid's chaired the Madden committee forever, about the idea of adding a sky judge and having some level of oversight from above. So the officiating crews on the field can have the same benefit that all of us sitting at home on the couch have, which is like 12 or 13 different angles in a high definition of every single play. And so I think that discussion reopens more officially when the competition committee meets at the combine, and then going into going into to the annual meeting in March, and I can promise you that it's not something that there's no whistling by the graveyard on this right now. Now, that doesn't mean there's going to be significant change, but a lot of powerful people are talking about it.
Well, I mean, I think the change has got to come from the competition committee, from the coaches themselves. I really believe that because, you know, we had Dean Blandino had here a couple weeks ago, right, guys, from Fox Sports and former head of NFL refs. Dean Blandino was here. He used a great analogy about how replay is not the complete fix here, saying that, back in the day, you used to be able to back your car up out of the out of your driveway, you know, in a way, you know, the old fashioned way, looking over your shoulder. Now you used to all the bells and whistles to beep if you're close to something, and you got this camera to help you go back there. And the officials are now sometimes relying on all of those bells and whistles to get the calls right, and they're just going to lay back and just let the replay come in and eventually and fix it, and not making the immediate calls, and then that actually comes a problem. And so the answer to that could be as well. Point. You know, it was a great point. And so he said that analogy, but he also said when it all comes down to it, viewership's through the roof. So a lot of owners might be like, okay, you know, officiating, it might get me one day and it might get my opponent one day. But, well, you know, eventually it all comes down to it. The bottom line is fine. That's why it's got to be on the coaches to come and correct and fix this thing in a certain way. I don't know what it is to be done. I don't think it's to make them full time, because Dean was explaining they are full time during the season anyway. And I also would understand their retort would be, so we suck, right? You think we suck. Fans think we suck. But, and then we actually get a call right, and the face of the NFL is calling us out for getting the call right because we shouldn't have called it. And they're probably like, what the hell? You know?
I mean, I just think, like, so my opinion on this, Rich, is like, I think part of the problem is that we can see more, right? Like, I think it's a huge part of the problem is that we can see stuff that, because of, again, the quality of television, because of the amount of cameras, because of the, you know, pseudo journalists that are sitting in the stands with their phones. Like, we can see so much more than we could 25 years ago. And that's put a real onus on the officials to get every single little thing right. And that's not fair either. I just think, like, and this is, again, this is a point that so many coaches have made to me, and they actually took their own straw poll a few years ago and trying to get a sky judge put in. I think it was 2019, and it was 32-0. Right. And it, like, why wouldn't we give that benefit to the officials? Why isn't there an official upstairs? And it doesn't need, and it wouldn't be up there to change the 55-45 calls. What it would be up there for is the 90-10 calls and buzz down. And you could say to the head referee, pick up the flag or drop the flag, or I saw that. And people say, well, that would slow down the game. No, it'll speed the game up, because the play clock will govern everything. If it's obvious, you'll see it in the first 15 seconds. If it's not, you know what, then, like, you just play on, and that's the flow of the game. And I don't know. Like, I think that this is something that they really, again, need to look at, and trying to find a way to use the technology more effectively. It's the same sort of thing as, like, you know, you still have two sticks and a chain, you know, marking first downs when you could. I mean, it's sort of that, you know. So I just think the technology's there. They need to figure out a way to use it way more efficiently than they are right now. And I think those answers are out there if they just go and look for them. And that's all that the coaches really want.
Albert, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. I think the wait staff is waiting for you to leave and be done with this interview. So thanks
for the time. I don't know. I don't think you guys could see it, but there are a bunch of trays and everything else passing by.
Fantastic.
And so, food looks good. I might go have some.
You know, go for it, Albert. Thanks for the time. Yeah. Take care.
All right, thanks, Rich.
That's Albert Breer, ladies and gentlemen. One and only. I love him, man. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, former MVP of this league, called potentially the MVP of this league, a game manager. That happened. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service, as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. All right, folks, let's talk about game time, and let's talk about buying tickets to big time events, because it can be worrisome, it can be time consuming, and it can be expensive. So Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Back on our radio network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Fitz in Dallas. Let's take his phone call right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Fitz?
Como vai, gentlemen?
What's up?
Hey, Fitz.
What's up, brother?
That is actually that is Portuguese for how y'all doing.
Oh!
Hey. Popozão.
And I am stoked because a dear friend of mine lived down in Brazil, and so I am so excited that I get an excuse to head down there next year.
Fantastic.
Now, if Santa is listening, dear Santa, Dallas Cowboys, Miami Dolphins in São Paulo.
Ooh. Do they play each other next year?
Okay. Miami again, it's two, would you say?
Cowboys.
Sorry, Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we play this year.
Cowboys.
So.
Hey, Rich, first of all, I didn't get a chance to compliment you last week. Your play-by-play commentating has just gotten better and better and
thank
better.
You.
And it's so great.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. Hopefully.
Have you been approached by one of the affiliates to...
What affiliates?
One of the networks, I beg your pardon, to... Do play-by-play?
I don't think of other networks come within a 10-foot pole of me because they're afraid Roger Goodell's wrath will rain upon them. I don't know. I have no idea. But if, they know where to reach me. They know my number. They want me to call football games for them. Because in all seriousness, I have my Sunday job on NFL Network. I love it. I love calling football games, and I'm thrilled that the NFL Network puts me in the booth. I don't take it for granted, and I'll be back again on Saturday. So thanks for the call,
the hardest
Fitz.
Working man in sports.
I appreciate
you're the
it.
Hardest working man in sports, gentlemen. Hey, Rich, one last thing.
Yes.
Happy Hanukkah to you and your family.
Thank you, Fitz.
And gentlemen, happy holidays. If we don't speak to you before, and
Merry
New
Christmas
year.
In advance of you, Fitz. Because again, I'm assuming you're just. I don't think there's any Fitz Cohens out there, right?
No.
Fitz. Dallas and Miami do not play each other next year, so unfortunately, that's not going to be the. Brazil.
Okay.
Matchup.
Unless they just decide to make it happen for Fitz.
I guess. So we could.
We could do that.
Not scheduled.
So they chose Brazil over Spain.
Brazil.
Start off.
Yes.
And that is a crushing blow for anybody out there who is hoping to see an NFL halftime performance by Charo.
Charo.
I mean, if we got.
Well, now Shakira's
Dolly
on the
Parton,
table, right?
I don't know. Is she Brazil?
I think so.
I don't know.
No, she's not Brazilian.
I don't think so.
She's not?
Nope.
Oh.
I don't believe so.
All right, I'm wrong.
Well, at any rate, I appreciate the compliment on calling
Colombian,
games.
She's Colombian, guys.
Good one, Chris.
They're neighbors. What do you want from me?
Is that right?
They're relatively close.
Driving under the influence of marijuana is illegal, and law enforcement officers can tell if you're driving high. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. That's paid for by NHTSA. That PSA right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Was that for Lee in Santa Barbara?
No, that was not, sir. Okay, wow. Matt in Maryland, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Rich, how are you doing? I just want to start by telling you I've basically grown up with you. I think you're the best in the business, man.
Matt, I appreciate that. How old are you, Matt?
I am 44.
Oh, my God.
the
44-year-old has grown up with me. I mean, a 44-year-old has grown up with me. What does that make me?
I'm not saying you're old. That far ahead. I'm just saying, like, I've been watching football, I started with Chris Berman, and then I saw you on ESPN with Stu, and
that's
that
right.
was it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That was it.
That's it.
You were the person whose thoughts I wanted to hear. Okay. And I'm so honored to have a chance to ask your opinion on this subject.
Okay, what do you got for me, Matt?
So I want to set this up for you. I remember years ago, everyone was so enamored with the athleticism of Johnny Manziel. What a wonderful athlete he is. Look how he can just run around everyone. He's so physically talented. I don't have anything against this young man, and I acknowledge he is the most athletically gifted man on the field, but I'm not sold that Caleb Williams can play the position of quarterback, and I don't know if he should go number one. When you look at him, do you really see him being that quarterback, that guy who can drop back and pass, that guy who can read the offense?
Yes, I do. Oh, God, do I, Matt. But please, let me just put it this way. If can you be in the front office of whoever chooses first overall and the Patriots are being second overall on behalf of Chris Brockman? Can you call that general manager who is the first overall pick with Caleb to leave Caleb Williams on the board because there's doubts? Would you please do that, Matt, for all of us?
I'll give it my best.
Okay. And I appreciate – thanks for the compliment. Thank you for saying that. And that's Matt in Maryland here on the Rich Eisen Show. My bones started creaking because he sounds young. Does he sound young?
He does.
He sounds young. And I thought, oh, what? Is he just 22. Fresh out of college or something like that?
44. You know, he's older than I am.
He's 44. And he's grown up on me.
Yeah. Older than I am.
Wow.
That's all right.
Let's see, Rich, you got to look at this in the positive, dog. Like, you got to look at, you've been gainfully employed that long.
Yeah.
So, oh,
well,
I'm, no,
yeah,
but
that's
I,
the good thing.
Listen,
good
thing. TJ, I find this incredibly positive.
Oh, I know you.
Honestly, I do. It's but it just is jarring that somebody who sounds really young, using the word growing up, you know, using that phrase growing up, how old are you? Oh, I'm a grown-ass man.
Just having my first...
Fenster baby just called in here, Mike.
44.
Hey, having my first grandkid.
Fenster baby.
Month. Oh, my God, I'm done. I couldn't breathe.
About to be a grandpa.
With his, in his baby zip, you know, his onesie and his rattle and his cigar and his 5 o'clock shadow just called in.
Diaper.
Fenster baby. So Cam Newton's got a podcast with 4th and 1 podcast,
yes.
Or is he a guest on it?
4th and 1 with Cam Newton.
Is that what it is? Okay. Cam, as we all know, it's interesting that we are here talking about another day where California Super Bowl has been awarded. It's Super Bowl 61 here in Los Angeles. Super Bowl 60 awarded just a couple months ago to Santa Clara, where they had Super Bowl 50. That's the Super Bowl that Cam was in. That was his MVP season. We all know how dynamic a football player Cam was. So when an MVP is talking about quarterbacks and state of quarterbacking, we're all ears. This is what Cam had to say about some of the best quarterbacks we're seeing in the league this year.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson, obviously Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy, like, but Brock, they're not winning because of him.
He's not turning the ball over.
He's managing the game. And if we were to put that in its own right as game managers, Brock Purdy, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, and really Dak Prescott. These are game managers. They're not difference makers.
And when you say game manager, I'm not asking you to go out and win the game. I'm just asking you not to lose.
Not to lose the game. Listen, I don't give a damn what you do. You don't have to score every time. You just don't have to throw a pick every time either. If we're going to really call a spade, a game manager is different than a game changer.
Okay. So here's my few cents on that. Because I'm around Kurt, and I've been around, you know, I guess caller just said he's 44 years old and grew up on me. So I've been around, and I hear what quarterbacks say. Every quarterback in the NFL, in the history of the NFL, is a game manager. Every last one of them. Because they are the ones who always have the football in their hands first, and it's their decision who gets it. And part of the reason why they decide who gets it in the moment is because they either decipher the defense prior to the snap and figure out who's best to get it, and does that fit the play that they have already called, and they manage that moment. And if they are surprised by the defense, they then manage that moment, and the ones who are best at it manage to not throw an interception in that point, or make a play that is so athletically gifted and so remarkable that others can't do what they can do in that moment. And those are the game changers.
Okay.
And that's the way quarterbacking, the way that I have been covering it and hearing about it being talked, that's the difference. And so everybody is a game manager in the NFL. And sometimes the game-changing plays happen when the game management should be happening. You see the throw that you should make. The defense dictates it. Your play has created an open receiver. You should take that one. That's a touchdown. Or you should take that one because that's a good, smart check down based on everything else that's going on. But instead, you make a decision that is the wrong decision, and then you make some incredible game-changing play. Touchdown. And we're talking about that's the MVP of the league. Instead, you watch the All-22, and it's just like, what the hell is this guy thinking? And then more often than not, it'll come back to bite that quarterback. So
I think you're being super diplomatic about this.
I'm not. I'm just telling you this is what I'm saying. This is every single one. But what he's saying right here, because when he said, I'll call a spade, there's a difference between a game manager and a game changer. He's the game changer. And I think he's sitting at home watching a bunch of these guys go and play games that he's wondering, why doesn't the game changer get a chance here?
He's not a game changer anymore.
Well, that's what I believe is what, that's my interpretation of why he's saying the difference in game. And hey, you know, Brock Purdy is a game changer. He has changed the game for the 49ers because he got drafted. When he got drafted, they needed him. He took them to a spot where he was incredibly capable of winning, got hurt, and then has come back and has totally changed the game for the 49ers because they could pay everyone around him. He's playing his ass off. And then on top of it, he is making so little money that it is the ultimate, that you're not only able to pay everyone around him, he has removed the mistake the team made in the draft from the equation. Normally coaches and GMs get got for drafting somebody third overall and then winding up trading him away for a fifth round pick. Not this guy. Dak Prescott is not a game manager. He is changing the game for the Dallas Cowboys. So sometimes a game manager is also a game changer. And a game changer, sometimes, because they don't manage the game very well, wind up sitting at home. That's my interpretation of all of this stuff. And I know people are like, Cam doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Of course he knows what he's talking about. He's played the game and he's been a game changer. And he's also been asked to be a game manager and kind of failed at it sometimes. Because in all honesty, how many times do you see Brock Purdy throw high to the 6'5" receiver who can't catch it? Remember Kelvin Benjamin? Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
You know how many times he got airmailed when he was impossible to airmail? And I don't mean to be critical of Cam, but he's criticizing guys that I don't believe deserve the criticism. But even the game changers are game. Tom Brady's a game manager. He's one of the greatest managers of the game. You know, one of the greatest managers of the game I've ever seen is Peyton Manning. He's telling you how to manage the game every single night. Don't go broke making a profit. Oh, he managed the game to the point where Dominique Rhodes could have been the MVP of the Super Bowl because he managed that game. The Bears were cover-twoing the Colts to death that night in Miami. And Peyton Manning kept managing the game. And you know what they got? A trophy in the case. And he's got a bust in Canton and a jacket. Why? What do you? What's your interpretation
of this? If Brock Purdy and Dak Prescott were on opposite teams, would San Francisco and Dallas be exactly where they are right now?
I don't. Ooh. You can't. But you can't. That's. We're all a product of our environment. We're all. I mean, would Zach Wilson potentially, without all the nonsense of his first 3 years, be the quarterback of the 49ers? And the 49ers are where they are. I don't know. I doubt it. Because Purdy has brought a certain skill set with a gajillion starts from Iowa State and a certain sensibility to the position that the Niners were desperate for and probably didn't even know they had.
But Dak started several years in college and was a middle round draft pick.
Various reasons for that too, I'm sure, if you go back and look at it.
Well, then how many game changing quarterbacks are there?
But what's your concept of a game changing quarterback?
Guy who can go off script and still make the dynamic play.
And you got like three of those then.
What, Mahomes and Allen? And
Burrow.
Lamar.
Lamar, definitely.
Lamar, I forgot about Lamar.
But why can't you call Brock Purdy a game changer? He's changed the game entirely for the 49ers.
But Jimmy Garoppolo has done the exact same thing.
Not like Purdy.
Mm-mm. Their stats are pretty even. Actually, 16 games.
I just don't. The whole concept of who's a game manager and a game, because this guy doesn't. He's gotten 368 yards passing last week in a game against the Seattle Seahawks when they showed up loaded for bear.
The problem is that media types have made game changer a negative, like we've kind of made solid a negative.
Oh, it's not. No, game changer is not a negative. Game changer is like somebody.
Game manager. Game manager.
Oh, game manager.
Game manager has become a negative. Sorry,
well, it's like, don't
like
screw
solid
it up.
Has been
don't
a negative.
Screw it up. Don't
solid is actually good.
But you know what, though? The whole, any quarterback, every quarterback is don't screw it up. Every last one of them.
No, every quarterback is a system quarterback.
You could say that. Yes, Tom Brady is the greatest game manager in the history of games and managers because he. Pre-snap neck up. Rodgers is one of the greatest game managers ever. To the point where the offense is inoperable by anyone else. Peyton Manning, when he went down with his neck injury, they were lost because he was managing the game from the line of scrimmage.
But Rodgers
coordinating the game.
Rodgers could go off script to kind of defend Cam about Tua. If the ball isn't out of Tua's hand in 2.5 seconds, he looks kind of lost.
So, but he's not game changing with some of the throws that he makes.
Roethlisberger is another one.
But he's just standing
he's just
there.
Managing the game.
But he's throwing a deep ball in 2 seconds to the MVP of the league.
Well, the one where Tyreek Hill came back into the game because his wife texted him when he went from one side of the field all the way to the other. Tua had to stay upright and keep his head. And look, we could keep going on and on and on about this, but that's my opinion of it. And then but I think he's referring to himself as the game changer or anybody who could play the game like him. Because he had a physical skill set and also an ability to play this sport, you know, neck up too. I mean, you're an MVP, you've got to read a defense, and he was dynamic. He was unbelievable running and catching. I mean,
one of
running
the greatest
and throwing.
Seasons in NFL
no
history
question
that year.
About it. Yep. But Brock Purdy might wind up winning the Super Bowl in the stadium. He could not.
Then I think maybe
bringing a trophy to that stadium for the home team of that stadium that Cam Newton could not bring home against Denver. And all I'm saying is he's probably watching that saying, well, that sucks. And I think that's part of what he's saying.
Then the narrative about Brock will definitely change.
I think it's already changed. It should. This game manager stuff. Get out of here. We got to take a break. We're up against it right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum.
Let's get inside of my father, John Glover. You know, we watched Talkville, and most of these episodes I never saw.
I didn't watch the show.
You never once saw yourself on Smallville.
In the beginning, I used to look at myself all the time and love to. And then as I get older, I stopped.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm older.
I was going to talk to you about that because you're 79.
Yeah.
How old do you feel?
11.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Wherever you listen.
Stacking Benjamins with Joe and his good friend OG not only has great financial insight, it's laid back with humor too.
Joe talks with Stacking Deeds co-host Crystal Hammond.
I've always been a fan of nosy neighbors. I want nosy neighbors. They can tell you what's going on 10 times faster than you would know.
Again, what's she talking about, Doug?
Really?
We're repairing neighborhoods, but then we're into nosy neighbors. And
yeah, that's a career off of that.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Game Time Tickets. Put it on your app. put that app, pardon me, on every mobile device that you've got in your house. So you can maybe grab your iPad or your phone or your tablet or whatever. Just when you think of, you know what? Oh, there's that concert. Oh, you know what? There's that game that we can go to. We're traveling. We're going to go into another city. Oh, is my favorite team going to actually be playing a game there? Let me check on the tickets. Let me get a great deal. Let me get it in just 2 seconds flat, because you can. In just two taps, you can buy tickets in seconds. Last minute tickets, zone deals, flash deals. It's so easy to buy tickets for every kind of event in your area or wherever you're traveling to. Views from seats, from all seats in the venue, and then you also get all-in pricing, shows your total up front. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Do me a favor, look outside. Is there some sort of a comet flying by? No, is there?
I don't think so. No,
no, not here.
Right. I'm just wondering what's going on. Is there? I don't know, because I saw who's the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. And it's no offense to him, but I also saw who the NFC Offensive Player of the Week is, and they're both New York quarterbacks.
Yeah. What is happening?
Has this ever happened? I'm. By the way, I'm serious. I'm serious.
I'm sure maybe one time Chad Pennington and Eli may have both.
Yeah, I mean, Eli, off. When Eli, I mean, Eli was an Offensive Player of the Week, and then
Chad Pennington.
I don't know what it'd be. Mm-hmm. Vinny? No, Vinny was not that. He was preceded Eli. I don't know.
Who would have been?
Chad Pennington. That might be it. I don't know. What the hell's going on? I mean, I the Jets and the Giants played home games this week, and not only did both of them win, their quarterbacks were named Players of the Week. What's happening? Yeah. I'm gonna go as soon as we're done. What's the Powerball this week?
Ooh, it's
over 500. It's 500 million right now.
Way in. And so, you know, it's kind of funny. Del Tufo wasn't here yesterday, and I started my comments about Tommy DeVito. I'm like, you know, no offense, Jay Felly, but you know, Mikey from New Jersey, Mikey, it would be a different conversation if Mike was here. I had no idea.
I know the family.
You really know the DeVitos.
100%.
You remember
Lexi.
When his name first got brought
I
up?
I said
Mike
it to you guys. I've talked with about it. Well, DeVito
you said it before. Yeah,
with
Chris. You were like, I think my friend's son might get drafted. Like,
yes.
Yeah, you talked about it before last
Lexi,
year.
Lexi, her father and mother owned a donut
I
shop
referred to her as Alexandra
it's
yesterday.
It's Lexi. Lexi, to me. Yeah, I've known her 40 years.
Yeah. Mike's been talking about.
So why can't you get DeVito on the program?
You want him on?
Is it, this better not be? I can get Chris Christie on the show.
We're still waiting
for the governor.
See, here's the problem with Chris Christie. He fired my sister as Secretary of Education in New Jersey.
Okay.
So he has family. Lexi and I chat all the time.
All right.
So I will text her. Say, you want him on?
We want Lexi on.
I'll ask Paisan. We'll do it.
Do you know Stellato, his agent?
No.
Okay.
But by the way, great hat.
There is.
I mean, that's. I need one of those hats for.
Did Vegas. You see our comparison? Of course you didn't, because you know you're working in Fox. You were working in Fox.
But the.
As soon as I saw that,
yeah, that is brilliant. That is like that. If you said Tommy DeVito's agent and you had pictures up,
he's a long time agent in the NFL.
That was straight out of Central Casting.
Right yeah, there. 9 out of 10 times right. That would be the pick.
There is.
That's it. Oh,
it is. One who took out Johnny Ola. I believe he's about to take out Johnny Ola.
Yes, that's the drape.
And Tommy DeVito amazing. Took out the Packers Ola.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, please come on, right? Because the jersey's going nuts.
The business. He's Tommy chosen. Cummins. All right, come on, man. Work on it, Mike.
I will tell. I'll send the text.
I'll
right
work
now.
On it.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
1995, when WCW announces they're going to be live and head-to-head with Monday Night Raw, feels like this would have been something Vince would have kind of laughed off.
No, we did not like them moving to Monday nights. There were a lot of hotels. They all carried CNN, TBS, and TNT. Vince was convinced that Ted Turner had deviously done this deal to get in the hotels and keep us out.
Something to Wrestle, wherever you listen.